All right, Sunday morning, 5:28:23. This is a teaching called Dressing for Success, Part 2. Remember when I talked about Part 1, we looked at the armor of God. Dressing for success, for spiritual warfare. Okay. In our last segment, this was on 5:14:23. We had a look at Jonah and how he did not want to go to Nineveh because he knew God was a good God and he shows mercy. The emphasis was that we at times have had the same types of mindsets concerning the evil people that have done these evil things to us. God still loves those that are evil. He sent his son to die for them, so as his representatives, we must also have the same heart as the Father. We do whatever we do based on love, for love never fails. That's our motivation. Without it, we cannot do anything. We must always remember that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We also looked into the armor of God, and this is our uniform for warfare. Belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. We looked at David and his five smooth stones. Five, like five pieces of armor. Five is the number of grace, God's grace. All right. Just as David had a strategy from God to defeat the giants, so we must have a strategy from God to defeat our giants. I would say that we always look past the physical and see the real enemy, the devil and his angels. The person is never the enemy, even though it sure appears to be at times. They're not the enemy. All right, when 9/11 happened, Satan and his angels sent a narrative out that the Muslims did it. That was the story. And after all this carnage, conveniently they find their driver's license on the street. They really think we're dumb sheep, don't they? The Muslims didn't do it. But it set hate against a certain group of people, a target, to start false wars that killed a lot of people. I remember when they executed Saddam Hussein. I remember feeling so bad about that, feeling really weird about that. And I remember I was at the post office. I came out the door, and there's a reporter there and asked me what I thought. And I said, I think it's a terrible thing. You know why they executed him? He didn't want anything to do with those bankers, Rothschild bankers, just like they did with the bankers on the Titanic. They killed him because they would not conform. He was an innocent man. That's why I felt the way I did. Oh, that sorry old Saddam Hussein. No, he was an innocent man. We're going to look back in history and see how many innocent men were slain and painted as, oh, that's Hitler. He's a Hitler. Like Donald Trump. Yeah. All right. Even though we the people didn't do it, our government did. We must own it. We have to own it. It's our land. It happened on our watch. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, see, we were asleep. All right. We must own it. We must repent for our allowing as the church what happened. It happened on our watch. See, I think the first step of true intercession is repentance. For ourselves, but also for those that we're going into, or the people, the land, whatever's happened to cause the place that we're praying over, we're having to take the enemy, the land back that the enemy has taken. Something has happened for the land to get to that place. Usually, that's why a lot of the research, that a lot of times research is and a lot of praying in the Spirit, the Lord will show you the underlying root cause of why your area is the way it is, or why that area is the way it is, because there's been things going on under the scene that you don't see behind the scenes that are causing things to be the way they are. That's why the church trying to deal with things in the flesh are totally a mockery. And they're totally ineffective. It's only going to be by the Spirit that God's going to show, the general is going to show us the battle plan. Show us what we need to do. Do we need to repent here? What do we need to repent of? What do we need to do? What's happened in these places that has caused this to come to this sorry state? So this is all about moving with the Holy Spirit and letting Him speak to us and telling us exactly what to do instead of just doing a bunch of just worthless mess. Because it is. It's worthless. If it's not led by the Spirit of God, Jesus Himself showed us the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So what did He do? He didn't move out independently of the Father. Father gave Him instructions, and He did what Father said, and He was a success every time because He did. All right. Okay, strategic level intercession includes remitting sins of your nation. I believe that is the starting point for successful warfare prayer. This is where the root is. I know, like I said, Mark Taylor, his prophecies. I think those prophecies came out about 2011, but it was quite a long way before he even released it to the public. And it was mainly about the church and its repenting. The 501c3 under the corporation. I didn't understand all of that then, more so now. But all of this, didn't know we were under a corporation. Didn't know any of this. To have a full understanding of what the man was actually saying in those prophecies. I guess I should have brought them and read them. But he's mainly dealing with the church, because if the church doesn't get right, you can forget the world getting right. It isn't going to happen. So it's the church first. Judgment begins at the house of God first. So when the church gets in line and repents and does whatever they need to do to get back on track and do what God has called us to do, then we'll see progress. All right. I remember C.K. Thompson. She had a dream, and in the dream, she saw these mountains, and people were rebuking the mountains, but they weren't doing anything. And she said, these mountains were moving around, and she said, I saw underneath every mountain a taproot. Laura said, you've got to put the axe to the root. And I'm thinking, well, that's really different. All right, I'll show you what the Lord said to me. The tap roots of each mountain, okay? Isn't that finding out to get at the root of the problem? That means, okay, I've asked the Lord, He's told me, what's the root of this? What's the cause of this? What's the solution to this? Instead of, well, I rebuke you, you know, I bind you. We go on about our business and nothing ever changes. Well, have we gotten all the specifics? Have we found out what's the root cause of that mountain even being there in the first place? Where did it start, Lord? When did the seed come that was planted that caused this problem? Going back to the beginning. All right, Mark 11. I was pondering this. I was thinking about Jesus and the fig tree. Now remember taproot. All right, Mark 11. Everything has a beginning. All right, Mark 11:11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. When He had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, He went out unto Bethany with the 12, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, He was hungry. and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. All right, verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest, okay, is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So he cursed the fig tree. I think there's more there than meets the eye. All right. Is Jesus telling us to make sure that we take care of the root here when we speak to mountains? Look at verse 25 and 26. I always wondered why that was there. And when you stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. You know, it's real easy to stand up here and blame the generations back for the mess our government's in and all the things that happen, and to talk bad about our government and all of these things. But maybe we should be forgiving when you stand praying. Forgive. Some did it knowingly, some unknowingly. This has been going on for generations. This didn't just happen last night. I'd never seen this way before. Because I read the parable of the sower, and the Lord said, look at 25 and 26. I'm thinking, you know what? I always thought that was kind of weird that was there. And we think, well, we'll make sure that we hadn't offended anybody or done anything. But I think it goes deeper than that. We're talking about mountains. You know, a mountain doesn't get there overnight. A seed does, but a mountain takes time. So these high places, these strongholds, these things that we see established all around our nation and the nations of the world, they didn't just get there last night. But it's going to take some forgiveness and repentance and all kinds of things, I believe, to get them to come down. Very interesting. I just kind of said, Lord, you just never cease to amaze me, your word. How to bring out something, you just go, whoa, where did that come from? Never, ever thought about that. And I've read this passage many times. But I always thought, always kind of left that other part out because it didn't seem to fit for me. Well, it fits now with a better understanding. All right, now go to Matthew 18. We'll start with 15. Aren't these the keys that we use in strategic warfare? Binding and loosing and speaking to mountains. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven? For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then Peter, he says to him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till seven times? Jesus said to him, I say nay unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Do y'all get the connection here? I mean, that's pretty strong. If you can't get somebody to agree with you, they bring it before the church and judge it. That's how crucial it is to keep strife out of the body of Christ. You see why the church is not powerful? We're just fighting among ourselves still. Isn't it always easier to blame someone else than to really deal with an issue? We want the Lord to do something. Always crying out to the Lord to do something, but maybe He's asking us to do something that we have neglected. Matthew 5. Like I said, it's not going to be long today, but you're going to have something to chew on and think about and to ponder. And it's real easy to talk about other preachers and say, well, they're wrong and this and that and so and so, but really it's not our place to do so. We need to stay in our lane. They need to stay in their lane. Matthew 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is it thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men? You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm come to destroy, but to not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these commandments and teach men also shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto thee, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And he goes on to talk about different behaviors here. But, you know, talking about forgiveness right here, verse 38. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father who is in heaven. For that he maketh his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For you have loved them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? But if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. You know, how can we expect the Lord to clean out the nation if we're not even cleaned out our own closet? I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. It's caused me to step back and say, okay, Lord, if there's things that I need to take care of, I think maybe it's just the attitude. Looking at your own backyard and your own closet, seeing if how have I contributed to where we are. All right, he said he is cleaning out the closets. All right, one more scripture, 1 Peter 4. It's kind of like, you know, you're looking at the toothpick in somebody else's eye when you have a telephone pole in your own eye. We all fit there, you know that, right? All right. Chapter 4 there, Peter. Forasmuch then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You know, the Lord's been talking about he's cleaning us up. And suffering, it purifies. It's kind of like whipping a kid. If you will, don't spare for their crying, beat them with the rod and they won't die. But you're going to probably save them by doing so. What happens? They learn discipline by physical pain. Now, I know that's not taboo. No, we don't spank. You know, we stick them in the corner, or, you know, give them a time out. All right. That he no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, it says. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles while we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account of him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Let me say this about so many people. You know, everyone, like I said, has their lane. They don't know everything, but neither do you. So to say, well, you're wrong. Now, if God's given you a personal revelation about that and you know that to be so, that's one thing. But there's still a way to say, well, Lord, if they're not hearing right, help them to see. If I'm not hearing right, help me to see. Because what has it done? It's just caused division. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that while his glory may be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. I mean, if you look back in the many years that I've been going through certain things in my life, I don't think I would have learned them had I not had it. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing as unto a faithful Creator. So I know there's just something about the hardship that keeps your eyes on God, because you can't solve it. You can't do anything about it. You have to look to God, because there is no resource to go to. What does that do? It begins to purify you. It begins to define you. It begins to develop your walk with God that nobody can shake. You know how rare, how precious that is? Yeah. It isn't fun when you're in it. But even Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Even the Son of God, well, you're a son of God. All right. When we have been in our closet, we will be in the place to see, or when we're cleaning out our own closet, let me just say that. We'll be able to see more clearly once we've cleaned the clutter out of our closet to have the right view towards others. Because really, I think that's probably the biggest thing in the body of Christ. It's like people just delight in getting on the air and bashing this one and bashing that one, thinking they got all the revelation. Well, I'm telling you, nobody has it all. Everyone has their part, and that's it. So think about what I said about, you know, I said, Lord, you know, whatever I need to repent of, forgive me for falling asleep and not seeing it. Forgive me for not realizing the signs of the times. They were everywhere. And I've been one that's, since really the 80s, have had a diligent prayer life and read my Bible and everything else. And even those like us, we awakened, but we weren't awake. Even then, we fell asleep. That's how, it's like Cinderella. Not Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty. But we've all been awakened for a reason, and it's to further this cause and to get us to where God wants us to be. His order and his government, right? Okay.